Hello and welcome to Red Lips and Stilettos podcast. I'm Carrie, your host and founder of Red Lips and Stilettos. Here we are removing the competitive gap and giving you as the beauty professional a voice to be heard within our industry. This is a platform created and dedicated to the beauty industry professionals, giving you new ideas, possibilities, and options to consider for your career. We serve to help connect you to the beauty professionals who have been there, done that, and experienced a world and more of what our professional beauty industry has to offer. Starting a beauty business, making that business a huge success, to working in a spa on a cruise ship. You name it, we'll be talking about it right here. This is Red Lips and Stilettos. Today's guest is celebrity makeup artist Renee DeWitt. With more than 20 years experience working as a hair and makeup artist in the fashion and beauty industry, Renee has more than 30 international and local magazine covers under her belt. Renee's work appears regularly in magazines such as Elle, Marie Claire, Cosmopolitan, and Glamour, just to name a few. Renee tells the story of how she entered the beauty industry, her travels all around the globe, living in London for 8 years, to this year being behind the scenes as the makeup artist for the Miss South African Beauty Pageant. Renee shares her top tips and advice for being an influencer today in the beauty industry and online community. She also shares with us starting out as a makeup artist, her tips and her top advice on the steps to take to getting a name for yourself and building up your credibility and reputation. She is so humble and such an honor to be able to have this conversation with her today. Please welcome Renee DeWitt. Hi, Renee. Thank you for being on the Red Lips and Stilettos podcast today.
Oh, it's only a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So I know you've been really busy the last couple of weeks with the Miss South Africa pageant. How was that?
That was amazing. Those were actually the top three yesterday that I took for a little personal shopping session at Woolies, which was amazing. I've grown very, very close to all of them, all the contestants, actually. We have like a little WhatsApp group, and just it's a special group of young women. So I've had an amazing journey. I've done a couple of the Miss Essays in the past, but generally I'd never actually worked on the contest. I only worked with the winner. So it was an interesting view to see it from the beginning right through to the end. You know, and I can imagine. It's quite an adventure and quite an emotional roller coaster, you know, because you want them all to win. But there can only be one winner. So you're kind of sad for everyone, but you're also happy for the winner. Very interesting dynamic.
Oh, well, congratulations. I mean, that's also huge for you and for your career.
Yeah, no, it's been amazing. I mean, just the real positive commentary just on social media and, you know, just from friends and family and colleagues, everyone has just been so positive. Especially everything is, you know, it's all on Instagram. It's all out there.
Yeah.
But so far it's only been really positive commentary, which is really good.
Well, you deserve that and so much more. So I'm really happy for you.
Thank you.
And so usually every episode we start off by asking the same question, and take us back and tell us, how did you actually enter into the beauty industry?
It's a very long, interesting story, but my love for makeup and cosmetics started when I was a little girl. I think I was 4 or 5 years old when my mom gave me one of those cheap, pink, nasty plastic makeup sets, you know, like half of it was plastic and half was real. And then I had 3 older sisters and I always used to say, please, can I do your makeup? So, I mean, I was literally 4 or 5 years old when this journey began. I ended up actually studying fashion design and working for Elle magazine as a stylist for that.
Oh, yeah.
That was sort of my first forte into the fashion industry. And I always thought I would be a stylist and I'd work in fashion. And back in those days, you know, the budgets were tight and I ended up doing makeup on some of the models and the styling, you know, and the props styling. And then I realized actually this is something I really love doing. I didn't think I could monetize it and it could be a career. I thought it was a pipe dream. Like it's impossible to do something you love this much and get paid. I actually still think like that every day. I actually said to my assistant yesterday, I just pinched myself. I'm sitting here doing Miss South Africa's makeup and it's the best day ever. And people are actually paying me to do this. I mean, I would pay money to do that. It's so much fun. So yeah, my career started fashion, and then as soon as I started doing makeup, I moved to London. I was 21, 22 at the time. I went on a 2-year work permit and ended up staying for 8 years, which is amazing. I was commuting, so I was doing 3 months Cape Town, 3 months London, 3 months Cape Town, back and forth. Ended up traveling the world shooting catalogs, which is incredibly boring work, but it got me to see the world, and it also enabled me to invest in property when I came home, and finally just to kind of launch my career here. So it's been an interesting journey thus far.
So when you decided to move over to London, was it were you in a job at the time, or did you just take, did you just want to see what opportunities were over there?
I mean, I was young and adventurous and fearless. I mean, at that stage, the thought of having never traveled abroad in my life, a young Afrikaans girl with literally so not experienced, not worldly at all, the prospect terrified me, but I knew I had to do it because it was so terrifying. I needed that challenge. And I always wanted to travel. As much as I wanted to work in the fashion industry, I knew I needed to travel to broaden my horizons and just to give myself a little bit of an awakening. South Africa is quite limiting sometimes. So and then I applied for a 2-year work permit. I got it, and ended up meeting a South African agent. Was an ex-model, ex-Capetonian. She had her own hair and makeup agency, and it kind of evolved from there. And then, as I said, I ended up staying. I just loved London and I loved Europe and I love traveling. I still, well, not at the moment, but I still travel at least 4 times a year. I make it my mission, especially now that I've got kids. I try and travel as much as I possibly can.
Because it I think traveling, it gets you out of your comfortable zone and that comfort bubble, and it just shows you, it teaches you so much about yourself as well, I found, with
Absolutely.
traveling.
Absolutely. And it's challenging. I always traveled alone. My entire like adult life so far, up until I got married and had kids, I was so fiercely independent from very young. But it is scary traveling to a new country, not knowing anyone, not knowing the language, can't count the money. But I got through it, and I want my girls to experience that as well. It's challenging. If it terrifies you, then you must do it. Because you need to challenge yourself constantly. I still do, in my everyday life, in my career, in my work. If something makes me anxious or nervous, I prepare myself as best as I can, but I always push myself a little bit harder to grow and to learn more. You can never ever know everything as an artist. It's just impossible because the industry is fast evolving and changing, and it's fluid. So one day you learn to do a perfect smoky eye, the next day that's passé, and you have to start all over again. So it's constant challenge, and that's what I love
Keeps you
about
on
it.
your toes.
Yes, and that's what I love most about it.
And that those 8 years in London specifically, what else did you have to go through over that period to learn and get the experience and the credibility that you have today?
Well, I mean, it certainly wasn't like I walked into an agency and got working. I didn't even have a portfolio. I think I had one L editorial where, incidentally, I think the makeup artist was sick and I used my own makeup on the model. And that was the only thing I had in my book. And I was trying to market myself as a makeup artist. But I had women who believed in me and people who believed in it, who helped me. So my first job was at, I think it was Harvey Nichols, spraying perfume. I was a perfume girl. Agent provocateur, excuse me, madam, would you like some perfume? I mean, that was my first job. And I remember in my lunch hour, I used to walk from counter to counter and ask all of the sales assistants, what is your best-selling product? Why? Show me your techniques. I was just fascinated. And that's where my love also for product knowledge came in. I mean, you can literally ask me about any product, and chances are I'll know about it. And if I don't know about it, the next time you see me, I will know all about it. So I do think product knowledge as well as technique, those are two hand in hand sort of issues. But I deviate. We were talking about London and how I started. Yeah, it was tricky. It was hard. I mean, I went over, I think I had something like £130 in my pocket. Like, that was all I had. And I had friends that helped me and, and put me through this journey. I think if it wasn't for friends and people that I knew that helped me along, I probably wouldn't have found it so, I wouldn't say seamless, but so like a possibility.
I think the reason I asked you that question is because often when when we see a success story, we see all the icing and the
Oh
cherry
no.
on top, but we
Oh
don't see
no.
and hear about that baking
I can't even
and
say it.
the,
It was such an intense journey. I was trying to explain to my kids the other day, like when mommy was living in London, I literally had no money for food at the end of the week because my commute took up half the money I made, So it was a situation of going to the Safeway and buying three tuna sandwiches that were about to go off. And eating them over 3 days, it was insane. And I was the poorest I ever have been, but I was the happiest because I was this young, happy, little South African in this buzzing, amazing city. And I didn't need money. I just needed to soak up and learn. I needed to be a sponge. And that's how I saw it. I saw it as the greatest opportunity ever, But honestly, I worked my backside off, and
And do you remember what was that turning point where things started to change and you started to know that,
things are happening. I
things are happening?
got a booking. I went to see like a publishing house, and one of the magazines was Vogue, and I went with my very basic portfolio, and I went and I met with the fashion director, and which is unheard of. I don't know how my agent got me in. And they ended up booking me like on an editorial, but I did a Vogue editorial, like a shoot. I was booked on. And then I was like, in those days, there's no like cell phones. And I would write postcards to all my friends and go, look what's happened. How exciting is this? That kind of thing. So it was very, very exciting, but times were different then, There was no cell phones, no laptops, no Facebook, no social media. It was the postcard, a good old-fashioned postcard. Return in touch.
That's so funny. I think times have changed drastically since then. Hey, if you think of social media
So
nowadays.
much. Everything is so accessible and easy. I mean, honestly, I remember buying stamps with my last money, Is it a sandwich or is it stamps? Was that ridiculous?
What is the
And
priority?
it's so cool because my mom kept all those postcards, all of them, handed them in
That's amazing.
shoebox, and there were ones for Amsterdam and Paris and New York and Portugal. And so I had this incredible opportunity to travel with my work, which was the greatest thing ever. And I always say to my friends, I was the originator of a selfie because I always had a camera on hand, and I always was taking selfies like in front of windmills and in front of, the Eiffel Tower. I think I have a gazillion selfies from the age of like
So
21.
that's where the selfie pioneered from
I
was Renee DeVitt.
was the originator, and it's all because of me. We have a
That's
selfie
so
culture.
cool. That is so cool. And so 8 years in London, what was the deciding factor to come back home?
Well, what I didn't mention is that 2 weeks before I moved to London, I met my now husband. I met the love of my life, essentially. And he was busy building a brand, a restaurant brand in South Africa, and I was building my career. And there was a moment, a brief moment, where I thought, I'm not going. I'm mad about this person, and I'm going to stay. And he was so dead set on me going. He wanted me to fulfill this dream, and he was like, I will never keep you back. You need to do this. So we commuted, you know. I would literally see him every 6 to 8 weeks. We'd make a plan. He'd come over or I'd come over, but there was not a time that like passed that was longer than 6 weeks and we'd saw each other.
So for 8 years, you did that.
I pretty much did that. I mean, the longest I was in South Africa was like 3 or 4 months at a stretch. And then I would go back.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was tough in the end. And he was like, you know, I think it's time we settle down. And by then I had kind of set myself up. I had bought an apartment and I bought a car. And I was like, you know what? I'm tired of this whole commute, living out of a suitcase, because that's what I was doing. And I was 28 and it was time. I was 29, actually. I just turned 29. So we got engaged and then I moved back. Always thinking, you know, I'll go back for a season. I never did, because my career then started here. And what I didn't anticipate was how hard it was to get bookings in South Africa, because no one knew who I was. I was mainly an international artist. So I literally had to do all the go-sees and see all the magazines again with my portfolio and go, hi, you don't know me, but I'm a makeup artist. And I mean, I remember one of my first editorial bookings was Cosmo. And also purely by chance, they couldn't get anyone else. It was December, it was season, and I was literally the only person available. And I remember the fashion editor looking at me and going, I don't know who you are, but if you mess this up, I'm not paying you. I'll never forget it as long as I live.
Oh my God.
But, you know, he said it lightheartedly and sort of winked. And now he's become a really good friend of mine. But it was that difficult coming back. It was easier for me to break into London than it was into Cape Town.
That is crazy, actually, that statement. But I can completely understand. Mm. What do you think it is?
I know what it is, and I figured it out now, being in the industry for 20 years. Teams become comfortable with each other and they trust each other. So if you have a makeup artist that you know that you can trust, that you've worked with, you know, you're spending a fortune. Your budget is enormous on this big advertising shoot. You cannot risk bringing in a makeup artist that you don't know. So I get that click, because I do that now. So I've got my videographers that I work with, and I've got, you know, my hairdressers I work, and the stylists. You become like a little family, you know, and it becomes clicky, and it's just a natural thing. You know, it's that you trust working with, and that you know that you can 100% rely, they will do the job that you want. So I think that was at the core of it when I moved back. But all it took was one or two, you know, chance meetings with people, and like, just, you know, almost having to tell your story and you know, sell yourself, which is, you know,
to pitch yourself again.
At 29 was just weird. It was just odd, but it's also good, because it just takes you down a notch, you know, and puts you back in your place and makes you humble all over again.
So when you came back to South Africa, how long did it take you before you again started getting your name out there and getting your brand out there?
I would say 6 months to a year of me doing a lot of freebies, a lot. Going to, you know, ad agencies and says, I'll work for free. Just give me the opportunity. You know, I did that for like 6 months before people were like, oh, actually, you know what? You're not too rubbish. We'll book you. You know, and actually pay you this time. You eat humble pie, but I needed that. I think everyone
But I think that also just talking on what you've just said with the with doing freebies, I think that is so overlooked because we've been kind of brainwashed to, you know, don't undersell yourself or don't undercharge. Make sure you, you know, you and I think people lose business because they're so worried about the money when they're starting out that by rather getting your name out there, good things will come.
Well, I mean, that's the one thing is that I've always surrounded myself with as much as possible humble people, hardworking, humble people, you know, and I have had the same assistant for 5 years and I've tried to instill that into in her. Like, your work ethic is everything, but it's, you cannot be money driven. You can't be money driven because then you're not doing it for the love and you're not doing the best job. You know, you've got to do, every single job has got to be the best job you've ever done because you're only as good as your last job, you know? And so it's just in terms of, you know, remaining humble, working hard, working for free. I still work for free and I work for free a lot. If it's a project that I love and I'm passionate about, if it's a charitable organization, if it's a young photographer wanting to start out his career and he needs a makeup, I do it all the time because that's what people did for me. And I'll never forget that. You know, I'll never forget people that nurtured me and helped me along and asked for nothing in return. And it actually, it just gives me such a kick to see these people succeed, you know, some faster than others, but to see them doing well, it just, honestly, it's just the most rewarding thing ever.
You are so humble and you're so kind. You know, thank you. I don't know if anyone ever says it, but thank you for being that person. We need more people like that who, you know, it would make the world a much better place.
Really,
you know, rather building each other up than competing, it's like,
You know, just thinking about this, my kids are very much into watching Mean Girls. You know, this movie, and for them, the whole concept of girls being mean to each other, they don't understand it. They just think it's shocking. I'm the same. Like, I can't understand people who don't want the best for their fellow person, you know, like, especially women. I think, you know, women must always help each other. It's you know, there was this beautiful moment, just an example of women helping other women in the Miss Essay competition where the girls had to do, and all the changes were, honestly, the 3 minutes to get changed, dress, shoes, change your hair and your makeup, 3 minutes per girl. It was chaos. And I'll distinctly remember the one finalist, Jordan, couldn't get her boots off of her first seat, could not get these boots off her feet. And every girl, there was chaos. There was naked bodies, clothes flung. And Tato, who had come second, she second in the Miss Essay, stopped everything she was doing, turned around in her underwear and started helping Jordan take her boots off. And Jordan kept saying to her, Tato, don't do this. You don't have time. And Tato was like, no, I'm not letting you sit here struggling on your own. And I was like, oh my God, that is amazing. And
that's actually like symbolic.
And
don't you
she
think?
Deserves being in the top three, just purely based on that action. That was such a beautiful thing to see. And I saw that a lot. I saw that a lot between Tato and Shudu, that they would constantly help each other, you know, and help. And it's just, I found it quite interesting that they were the top two, you know. And also with Natasha, also the sweetest girl, you know, constantly helping the other girls with their wardrobes and just it was, the camaraderie was quite beautiful, seeing that it is a contest, it's a competition, but I almost feel like the next generation, there's this big divide between those who you know, are narcissistic and want it all for themselves, and then those who are the complete opposite, you know. And I like,
but I think it's also it's becoming more visible. And it's not, I don't know how to say it, but yeah, I think more people are waking up, you know, and I don't know if you believe in
Oh,
karma
absolutely.
or whatever, but it's definitely
Yeah.
speeding up. Good karma is speeding up. You know, if you things do
Oh,
come
for sure.
back.
For sure. But you know, the motivation behind everything you do must come from a good, pure place. It mustn't come bearing in mind, oh, well, if I put something good out there, I'm going to get it back. It's, you know, it's, you've got to have that mentality of it feels good to help other people. And what will be, will be. If blessings come my way, amazing. If not, that's also fine. It's as I said before, the kick I get out of seeing other people do well and succeed, if I had my part in it, it's really the most rewarding thing ever.
And I think also you feel that way and you are so humble because it's what you experienced and what you would have wish that you had, you know, when you were hustling.
I'm still a hustler. Let me just tell you that hustle never leaves you. I mean, it's, you know, every day, like I look at like also like my brand collaborations I have, and you know, it's the hustle is real. It's, you have to keep so many people, you know, happy, but on the other hand, you also have to keep yourself happy and know your worth. And that's something I've struggled with for a long time, is not knowing my worth and not knowing what to charge people. And now I've realized it's not just my skill, but it's like almost like an intellectual property that you're handing over to others, especially when you're consulting on brands and you're formulating new products. It's know your worth. And I'll never forget Amanda Dupont, who's a South African actress. I was working with her on a masterclass, and I was going, you know, I'm not actually going to charge for this masterclass. I've just had such great experience with it. And she looked at me and she said, don't you dare. You know your worth, and don't ever undersell yourself. And I was like, another defining, shifting moment in my life. It was, you've got to stop doing this. Because if you sell yourself short and you come in cheap, everyone's going to think you're cheap, you know?
So what would your advice be to someone starting out in the beauty industry, in the makeup industry?
Okay. Number one, good Instagram pictures don't make you a makeup artist. Good filters don't make you, you know, skilled. I think a lot of sort of clout is given to your social media presence. I've seen makeup artists with 200,000-300,000 following, and when you see them work on set and in real life, it's a vast difference from what you see. And so for me, my biggest worry for young people is they look at social media and they go, well, this is accurate, and you know, if I have good social media, a good social following, I'm good enough. It's just the complete opposite. Is always remember to remain humble. Always remember you never know everything. Always ask questions. You know, and work on your skill, practice. You know, I remember there was a time where I was dating a guy and I needed to practice. And I was like, do you mind if I just do a smoky eye on you? And I literally did a smoky eye on this guy for like 3 months until I thought I was happy. I mean, I remember the one day him saying, no, I think my eyebrow's not great on this one. And I thought, oh my word, I cannot believe the abuse I've put this poor man through. But just to get back to the whole point is practice, practice, practice. And know your products. Know your skin types. Realize that the person in your chair, you're in a very like vulnerable, well, they're in a very vulnerable place. You are responsible for their faces. You know, that's a big deal. It's like when I get booked for weddings, it's a massive honor that this person is entrusting their face on their biggest day of their lives to me. And I see it as a great honor. And I, you know, that every single opportunity you have to paint someone's face is an honor. You're there because you were chosen either by this private client or by the clients. It's an honor. Be grateful, you know?
Yeah. And with knowing your worth, how did it, when you thought, okay, this is going to be my starting price point, how, what, can you explain or describe that feeling of being confident and knowing that this is me, knowing my
There was
worth?
a distinct moment where one of the brands asked me to collaborate. And I always said, I will never monetize my social media. I want to be authentic, post about things I love. Like, I'm not going to be that girl that gets paid per post. But then I realized, when you post about things that you love and you've got a brand saying, we'll pay you to do it, it's kind of everyone wins. And you're not copying out. You're being true to yourself because you really do love this brand. And I remember sending out my first rate card last year to quite a big brand and umming and ahhing for literally a week before sending this, thinking, how do I equate my time to value? Like, how do I do that? And my intellectual property, which is my experience, how do I put that? And all I did was I looked at how much time it would take me to create this content piece. And that's what I did. I said, this is my day rate. It would take me 2 hours, and this is how much it's going to cost you for me to do XYZ. And I was embarrassed. I thought, oh my God, this is too much money. What am I thinking? This is just rude. They're going to think I'm mad. And they were like, oh yeah, that's fantastic. Great. So, and then I realized, okay, well, here the hustle starts. I've still got the same rate card. I've never upped it, And some people might think it's too little. Some might think it's ridiculously expensive, but at least now I know I have a value to my time, knowledge.
Yeah, and I think also when you get that that yes, or when the customer or the client is fine with it, that also gives you that surety that okay,
I
like I
really
got
don't get
this.
offended when someone says to me, but this is too much money. I go, you know what? I get it. I don't know if I would pay this much money to have my face done, but in reality, I actually do. I get someone in to do my face every now and then because it's such a pleasure sitting in this chair, having this skilled person with this years of knowledge and experience doing your face and making you look like the best possible version of yourself. So there is a real psychology behind it. I've seen people sitting in my chair slouching over and no makeup, always apologizing. Oh, my bad skin. Oh, mother. And I never just apply someone's face. I always talk them through it. I always educate. Even models, they'd always laugh at me and they go, Rena, I can't believe you care enough to talk me through what you're doing. And I genuinely do. I want people to experience the power of makeup, and also, if people say to me it's too expensive, I go, you know what? No problem. Here's three other artists that would do it for less that are equally brilliant. For me, it's not, I don't get offended at all. When someone's, I don't have that philosophy, you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. I don't believe in that. I believe that, there are young, brilliant artists out there that are just starting out. And they have maybe a year's experience where I have 20 years experience. So that's how you also equate your rate. If your rate is slightly elevated, it is because you've worked 20 years to get to that point. And the younger artists, yes, they'll get there eventually, but everyone has to start somewhere.
And with would you say that you are an influencer on social media? Is that how you would not necessarily describe yourself, but would you say that that's
It's
what
so
you
funny you say
do?
that. I was up very early this morning, and I had so much work to do, admin work. So I got up at like 4, which I often do. And I had a quick sneaky scroll through social media, and I got to a friend of mine who's a stylist. I got to her page, and she was wearing this beautiful dress, and I clicked on it, and I actually went and I bought this dress online at like 4 in the morning, and I thought, okay, this is what an influencer means. This is it. And in that case, I'll wear that title proudly, because I certainly know that a lot of my posts, in fact, I've seen the stats, you know, I'll post about a lipstick or a skincare product, and, you know, often they'll give you a code, and it definitely equates to sales. So, yes, am I an influencer? Yes. I hated that term before, but now I agree that that's the best way to put it.
That's why I was hesitant.
I'll label that as you.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. Yeah.
And what would your advice be to these youngsters or these up and coming makeup artists who, you know, aspiring to be an influencer online? What would your advice be to them?
Send established makeup artists like myself messages on Instagram saying, please send me the PR details for XYZ brand. I want to get free product. Like, that's not the way to go about it. You need to cultivate those relationships over years and years and years. If I tell you some of the relationships I have, I've had for 15, 20 years. And it's not a case of, well, I'm going to post your stuff and you're going to give me free stuff. It's not like that. It's not how things should be. It should be because you authentically love this brand and the brand loves you and what you're doing. So anyone that says to me that they want free product is starting off on the wrong foot. It's got to be about, I want knowledge and I want to be the best makeup artist I can be. The rest will follow.
Yeah,
I get it so often. I have to be very gentle because they're young and they may be inexperienced. But I have to be gentle. And I always say, don't ever, you know, take it for granted that these relationships happen overnight. They take years, you know, and you need to work for this. You can't just ask for free stuff because you want free stuff and you're a makeup artist. No, can't. And, you know, especially the girls that just finished with makeup school, those are the girls that obviously I get a lot of them following me and they're so sweet. But these are the girls that I really want to help and inspire. You know, so I get commentary, all sorts of commentary on social media, and majority of them are just so sweet and inexperienced. But then you get the one or two that will say, can you hook me up with free stuff?
Yeah, I think that's also, it just shows their intentions. They don't care about whatever free brand stuff. They get. They just want the free product.
Listen, who doesn't like a delivery? I mean, I love it. When that doorbell rings and I'm home, and it's someone delivering something, I cannot sprint downstairs to get that package fast enough. And whether it's a one lipstick or 20 lips, it's always that wonderful, you know, excitement. I love getting free stuff and I love receiving gifts. But, you know,
when I watch your Instagram stories and your posts, and you always are unboxing something. And, you know, I just thought yesterday, it must be so tough for your family to buy you presents, because you must have everything.
It was my birthday yesterday, obviously. And all my friends were like,
"Yeah,
we don't know what to get you. Like, what do you get? What do you get someone that just, I live, eat, breathe, sleep, fashion and makeup. So what do you get you? You know, so I'm always like, it's not about stuff for me. It's about experiences. You know, take me for a walk on the promenade, buy me an ice cream, spend time with me, you know, let's go for a long, you know, almost said boozy lunch. No, a long lunch. Day drinking is never a good idea, everyone. But for me, it's an experience. It's, you know, so last night I took my kids for dinner, like just to a pizza place, and slowly but surely all my friends just arrived with bouquets of flowers and you know, just all of them just arrived just to wish me. And that for me was the best thing ever. It's just to see people that care and love me, you know, care for me. So it's not about the actual physical gifting, because I get so spoiled already. But I'm never going to say no.
Yeah. But
Well,
you, do you know what? You
yeah.
deserve it. Like you, your efforts, your humble outlook and attitude,
Oh.
and you deserve it all. So
Thanks for
I'm
that.
really
Thank
happy
you.
for you. And someone who is wanting to follow in your footsteps and become what you have achieved to this day, what would your top piece of
I
advice be
think
to
first
them?
and foremost is contact every single makeup artist that you aspire to be like. Contact them all. Send them Instagram messages, send them mails, tell them about yourself, offer to wash their brushes, carry their kits, do whatever you want, you must, just to learn and to assist them. Don't expect money for the first year. Get a side hustle, get a waitressing job, get a like I had a hostessing job for God for 3 years. Just realize that it's a journey. It's not an overnight, I'm going to get booked. Even the makeup artists, you know, our industry has changed with COVID, that even the woman, like the artists that have been in the industry for years and years, we're not working as much as we used to, you know? So you go from a 5 day week to a 2 day week. And that's kind of scary. And then you've got all these young, new makeup artists trying to break in. And that's why I'm saying get a side hustle until you start earning money. That's for me is number one is contact every artist. Number two, get a side hustle. Number three, never stop learning.
Yeah.
The perfect example is any day I've got off, I can guarantee you I will be in Clicks, Dis-Chem, Edgars, Woolworths, Truworths trying product. I guarantee you I'll be there. Because I want to know
Yeah.
what's available. And I ask every single sales assistant, I know them by name. They WhatsApp me and say, Renee, this is pencils just launched and it just screams you. So don't ever forget the value in learning about new products. Products have it's very important to know your product knowledge and practice. Even if you practice on yourself, practice on a neighbor, practice on your kids. Don't ever stop educating yourself. And I don't mean just watch YouTube channels. I mean physically doing it. Getting your fingers in
Yeah.
there, in the makeup, you know. What other advice? Yeah, remain humble. That's probably my biggest one, is don't think you're better than anyone else because you're not.
That's
Thank you.
really good
I try.
advice. And last question, what's next for you? What's up
So,
and coming?
a little bit of a hush hush lowdown. I'm consulting for an incredibly exciting new, I don't want to say department store because it's one of a kind. I curated their beauty department. This is happening. It's launching 26th of November. Watch my social media for details. And I'm in the process of creating a capsule collection with a organic South African, proudly South African skincare range. So a makeup range that is super clean.
That
Exciting
is
stuff, y'all.
incredible. So exciting. And thank you so much for being on the podcast today and for sharing your story, your wisdom, your incredible energy. I can even pick it up from being so far away.
Thank you so
But
much.
thank
It
you
was
so
so lovely
much.
chatting to you.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode on the Red Lips and Stilettos podcast. My vision for Red Lips and Stilettos podcast is to empower our industry, inspire our professionals, and be that hub for support. I hope you enjoy what I bring to the table, and this little business is literally here for you. So any support, whether it be listening to the podcast, sharing the episodes, liking, following, or telling a fellow colleague or friend to listen, is highly appreciated. If this podcast is something that inspires you or sparks that inner flame in your belly, I would love you to join the conversation, become engaged, let this podcast re-inspire, motivate, and connect you to the why you chose this industry. every Friday morning, South African Standard Time, a new episode will be released. I look forward to our next episode, but that is it for now. Until next time, stay safe and more importantly, stay connected.